We begin the current daf, Masechtas Krisa daf Chavav. Begin 5 lines of daf at the top of the Yomid. But the Gemara continues in the discussion of the previous daf with another teaching from the Amr of Tachlifa, who is Avud Rav Huna, that said over Mishmei de Rava, continuing on this theme regarding if someone committed a sin and then Yom Kippurim passed, which was the halacha of our previous Mishnah, which we discussed, that Rav Tachlifa was bringing a source for this halacha, that it's specifically by Ashim Toli, that then if Yom Kippurim passes, then that's an atonement. But regarding any definitive sin, Ashim Vaday, Chatas, then the halacha is actually going to be that one still obligated after Yom Kippur. On that theme, he says, similarly, Chiyuv Malkius, regarding something that if someone commits the sin, he's liable for the for lashes, for lamatas lashes, Shavalein Yom Kippurim, that if Yom Kippurim passes, the halacha is Chayiv, he's still going to be liable. So if you might wonder, Pshita, obviously, Maishna Mechiv Echatois V'Hashem Ezvadoin, why is it different than the halacha of our Mishnah, which we just brought the source for, that where there's a definitive sin, we said it's not included in what's considered, we learned that from the Pasuk, a sin that only one that knows about is Hashem. Like Hashem Toli, no one knows, even the person himself. It's just Hashem. That's when we said Yom Kippurim is Mechapa. But everything else, including when this Chiv Malkis, people warned him and he's going to get lashes and they know about it, of course Yom Kippur is not Mechapa. Says the Gemara, no, it was necessary to say this teaching. Because Selkat Eitech Min Yehuda thought to say, Hasem Emeinuhu. This that we brought the source, let's say, Bechatois Vashem Ezvadoin, there that's a monetary obligation that a person has to Hashem, to the Beis HaMikdash, which is his obligation to bring this carbon. So since it's possible to pay it up, so Yom Kippurim is not going to atone for it, because as we said previously, that for monetary payments, that's not appropriate to say that there's an atonement Yom Kippurim. That Yom Kippurim doesn't take care. You still have to take care of your monetary obligations, which includes a carbon, which is a monetary obligation. Aval hacha de gufuhu, but here regarding Malkus, which is a physical retribution, emaloi, I would say that actually, no, that one would not have be obligated to fulfill his lashes once Yom Kippurim passes. Kamashmon, that's why we need a Rav Tachlifa to say that even in that situation, Yom Kippurim doesn't take care of it. But the Gemara asks, but vanantana, to the contrary, but we did learn in the Mishnah Masechta Shavuos that says that the Azazel, which is that goat that's thrown off the cliff that provides atonement for the sins of the Jewish people, it says it's v'hoida, v'loi hoida, regarding sins that they're aware of, that they're not aware of, asay, v'loi sasay, positive commandments, negative prohibitions. So we see that for those things, like negative prohibitions that one gets lashes for, we see that the Azazel, Yom Kippurim, does atone for, to the contrary then, of Rav Tachlifa's halacha. So Zimor Likash, not difficult. Ha, this teaching of Rav Tachlifa in the name of Rav is the astrobe. Is where he really had a warning before he committed the sin, which that is where the punishment of Malkus is, that Yom Kippurim is not going to atone for. Ha, this Mishnah, Masechta Shavuos, is the Le'astrobe, where there was no warning. So regarding those types of sins, like negative prohibitions, where if one had a warning, yeah, he would get lashes. But for that sin, when there's no warning, that Yom Kippurim with the Azazel would atone for that. Now, the Gemara goes back to the primary halacha of Rav Tachlifa from the previous daf and says, Elimiyat. Okay, if that's the case that we said that regarding a sin that the only one that recognizes is Hashem, like Asham Toloi, that's what Yom Kippurim is Mechaper, but in contrast to Asham Vaday and Chatos, or even in this teaching we just taught regarding Chiv Malkis, that for those things Yom Kippurim is not Mechaper, then Simon, the mnemonic for the following questions are the case of Yeledis, woman who gave birth, Mitzayra, Nazir, Saita, and Be'egla. As the Gemara explains, question number one is then Safig Yeledis, regarding a woman that's in doubt if she gave birth, where if there's an obligation for her to have to bring a carbon, Sha'avale Yom Kippurim, if Yom Kippurim already passed, Le'taisi, she shouldn't bring what's called this Chatzah So'if ala Safig, which is the halacha by a Yeledis, if she's not sure if she gave birth. If she's sure, she brings a pair of birds, one's a chatas, one's a oila. If she's not sure, she brings the chatas haif out of doubt. She shouldn't have to bring it. Because Yom Kippurim already provides atonement. The chet she'in makar b'ayla makamu, because it's a sin that the only one that recognizes, no one knows. No one knows is Hashem. So why do we learn in our Mishnah that a woman in that type of situation, even after Yom Kippurim, still has to bring her chatas haif, abala safik? Why? It's something that only hamaka makar b'ay. So Rav Hashi says, the Pasuk tells us, which was the source that we're saying by the what Yom Kippurim atones for, is l'chol chatoisam, for all their sins, l'chol l'chol tamasam, and not for their states of impurity. Here the Yeledis, the halacha is, why she bring the carbon, not for any sin, she didn't do anything wrong, it's just for her impurity, it makes her then re-sanctify that she could partake of kachim, so therefore that has nothing to do, yeah, only one that knows about it is Hashem, but that's not what Yom Kippurim does, and therefore it's not going to take care of her obligation. But then the Gemara says, but Rav Shimon ben Yochi, the Amar Yilad is Chaitas. He says, no, the reason why actually a woman gives birth brings a quota Kama Chatas is because she is a sinner. As the Gemara Nidid of Laman Avon Beis brings that because when she's kneeling to give birth, she swears that she's never going to have relations again because of what's going on in childbirth. And therefore, she actually is a sinner because she goes back. So, Ma'iklamim, what are you going to say? It is a sin. And it's a sin that only Hashem knows, so Yom Kippur should be Mechaper. Says the Gemara, no, because even according to Rav Shimon ben Yochai, you led this kiko maisi carbon when the woman who gave birth, when she brings the carbon, lishtarui bechilis kadshimu, that's only to permit her to partake of kadshim, but lo lecha parmasi, and not for her atonement, because although yes, she's considered a sinner, her actual atonement, even according to Rav Shimon ben Yochai, is with the pain of childbirth. The carbon, although it's called a chatas, is actually to permit her to partake of kadshim. Therefore, you can't say that, oh, she shouldn't have to bring her carbon anymore because it's already atoned by only Hashem knowing about it, because it's not an atonement situation, it's a hechsher for kadshim. And Amar Vashi says, actually, we also learned this in the Halacha of Mishnah, that the reason why she has to bring her safik chatas alif, even after Yom Kippurim, is because it's not coming for atonement. The Mishnah said this idea clearly. It said, a woman has an obligation of, in the situation of doubt of birth, the doubtful chata sa'iv, and even if Yom Kippur already passed, said the Mishnah, she has to bring it even after Yom Kippur. Why? The Mishnah said this idea, because it's not for atonement. It's just something that prepares her to be able to partake of karbonis, and therefore that's exactly what we said, why Yom Kippur is not going to atone for it. But then the Gemara continues with question number two. Elimat, if that's the case, then Safik Mitzayra, which the Gemara Masechtas Nazir and the Samach HaManalf explains that when he's a doubtful Mitzayra, which the situation is, for example, let's say we're not sure there's an order that it has to be. It's that if it was that there's a few different elements to Tzaras. If the white hairs came before the actual Nega affliction, then the person's Tar. But if the Baharis, the affliction came before the white hairs, then he's Tame. So we're not sure which one came first. So he's a doubtful Mitzayra, which the halacha is that the Gemara elsewhere explains he has to bring a carbon. So too regarding a Nazir, that the next case, we're not sure if he became Tame out of doubt. Sha'avalov Yom Kippurim, where if let's say, okay, Yom Kippurim passed. Le'maisi, shouldn't have to bring his carbon. Da'avalov Yom Kippurim, because Yom Kippurim already passed. Tachet Shei Makabar L'makamu. The only one that knows what exactly the order was, if he has the Negev Tzeras of Tumah or not, which requires a whole purification process with carbonis, is Hashem, because no one knows which one came first. So Yom Kippurim passed, that should atone. So here too, Omer Ba'ishi, it says, no, it says in the Pasuk, L'chol Chataisim, Yom Kippurim atones for all their sins, but L'chol Tamasim, it doesn't work, yeah, even though it's only the one that Hashem knows, for Halachas of Tumah, which here it's regarding Tumah of Mitzayr. No sin that Mitzayr committed. But that is the Gemara, why? V'Amr B'Shemol B'Nachmin Amr, and the Gemara says, Rabbi Yoinesin, it says, Al Zayin Devarim Negoyim Ba'im. There's actually for seven sins that the Negev Tzeras comes. Which the Gemara in Erech and of Tazayin Manalf explains what those seven are, where Simon and Amalek is Gagag Shashlatz, which that's the names of the seven types of sins that cause Tzaras to come. So you see, it is for Chataisam, not for Tumasim. And since only Hashem knows, so Yom Kippurim should atone. Why does he have to bring it even after Yom Kippurim? Says the Gemara, no, because Mitzari Kimaisi, even if you're going to say Mitzari is a sinner, and that's why he gets Tzaras, when he's bringing his carbon, Lavlecha Parmaisi, he's not bringing it for atonement, because his atonement's already with the fact that he gets the Nega of Tzaras, where the pain of the Nega is what atones for his sin, Lashon Hara, for whatever it is that caused the Tzaras. Elish Taruhi Bachilis Kachemu, the carbon is only to permit him to partake of Kachem, and therefore that cannot be taken care of with the Yom Kippur, which that's only L'chol Chataisim, V'lo L'chol Tamasim. Gemara continues, question number three. Elamiata, but again, based on this principle that we said from Rav Tachlifa, Safik Nazir, a Nazir who took on a vow of Naziris, and it's not clear if he became Tummy or not, because Rashi explains, you can't say that it's like the case of Mitzayr, where we're not sure if he's a Nazir or not, what that would be, what would there be a doubt if he's a Nazir or not. For example, if he said, I'm going to be a Nazir if my wife gives birth to a boy. Now, we're not clear what his wife had miscarried or given birth to, was it a boy or a girl, because in that situation, it's not a situation of doubt, because he could bring the karbanis and he could stipulate. And they could say, if he wasn't a Nazir up until now, so now let it be a Naziris for the end. And at the end he'll bring a karban, and either way it'll be a valid karban, because either it's for the initial vow, or because he took a new vow if the original one wasn't a vow. as the Mishnah teaches this idea in Masechtas Nazir Rabbi Gimel Ben Aleph, where Shimon says this idea that he says, okay, if it was a Ben Kayama, so it'll be my obligatory Nazir. If not, it'll be Nazir in the Dava. But either way, you could get out of it, so that wouldn't be a valid case of Safek Nazir. Now, the case is talking about where he was a Nazir. Not sure if he became Tame or not. And then he has to bring Karbanas after he purifies himself. So in that type of situation, Sha'avalav Yom Kippur, if Yom Kippur passed before he got a chance to bring his Karbanas, Lay Maisi Karban, shouldn't have to bring a Karban, meaning this Chatas Ha'if that comes in the situation of doubt, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Nazir, that such a Nazir, where not sure if it became Tamei, that he has to bring it. Why? Why does he have to bring it? It's the Ha'kippur Yom Kippur already atoned for it. The Chetshin Makabay Lamakamu, this is a sin that only Hashem knows about it, because he doesn't know if he became Tamei or not. And regarding that sin of becoming tamei that he brings to Karbanas, Yom Kippur should take care of that. So Amar Rabbi Yishai says, no, l'chol chatas, v'lo l'chol tuma. It's only for sins, and this is for regarding his state of impurity. So that's not taken care of by Yom Kippur. But on that, says the Gemara, l'rabbi Elazar, v'na kapar d'amar nazar chaytehu, that he says actually a nazar is a sinner. The reason why a nazar is considered a sinner is because he's paining himself from not having the pleasure that Hashem wants from him to partake of wine, as the Gemara says in Tainus, Yerav Menav, Michael and Emma, what are you going to say? The nazar is because of a sin of naziris, and therefore the karbanis that he subsequently brings is actually for a sin, and if it's for a sin, and it's only a sin that Hashem knows about, so then Yom Kippur should atone for that. So the Gemara, no, because nazar ki ko maisi karban. The nazar, when he brings the karban, similar to the previous Gemara's answers, lav lecha para maisi, he's not bringing it for atonement, because the atonement he already gets by the fact that he has to grow his hair long, and that's a state of disgrace. El lamechal of naziris taharu, it's only for him to be able to go back and start over his naziris in a state of purity, and therefore the karban's not coming for any sin, and therefore Yom Kippurim is not taking care of it. So the Gemara continues with the next question, el me'ata, but then safek saita, which actually is what we classically mean just in general, the saita, because every saita is a doubt. She's the suspected adulterous woman. Did she become impure with another man or did she not? So regarding the doubt of the saita, sha'avala Yom Kippurim, that if Yom Kippurim already passed, like Taisi, she shouldn't bring what's called her mechitz kanais, her flower offering that she has to bring in that procedure. Yom Kippurim already toned for her. Because here no one knows what actually happened, and the only one knows is Hashem, and therefore Yom Kippurim should atone for that. To which I'm impressed, he says, no, l'chol chataisim. It says, for all their sins, v'lo l'chol tumasim. Here regarding the saita, the pasuk considers it a state of tuma, that's the terminology that's used, and therefore the Yom Kippurim will not atone for that. That's one approach. Amabai gives a second answer, he says, no, because boil makar boy. It's not only Hashem knows. The man who had relations with her, he knows. And therefore, it can't be considered that only Chetche, that Eshena Elah Mokam Makarboy, and therefore Yom Kippurim is not going to atone for that. Rav Amayth says a third approach. He says, no, because Saita Kimasi, when the suspected adulterous woman brings her Minchas Kanais, Levar Oven Kasia, it's not coming for atonement, it's coming just to verify the sin, that to let us know in that whole procedure, and she drinks the waters, which then we find out, was she unfaithful or not? So therefore, it's not had nothing to do with atonement, therefore Yom Kippurim is not going to take care of that. But then the Gemara continues with the final question, but if that's the case, as the principle that we had said previously from Rav Techlifa, so Egla Rufa, regarding when we find a dead person on the road, we don't know who had killed them, so the closest city has to bring the calf and decapitate it. Sha'avale Yom Kippurim b'chul, if Yom Kippurim passed before they got a chance to bring it, since the situation of doubt, Yom Kippurim should atone for it, they shouldn't have to bring the Egla Rufa. Sama Abaye says, no, because Harig Makar, there is someone else that knows. The murderer himself knows that it was him. And therefore, someone else knows, not only Hashem, and therefore Yom Kippurim doesn't take care of that. Or a second approach, Rav Ami says, no, Amakra, the Pasuk says, B'midbar, V'la'aretz lo'yechuper l'adam asher shopach ba b'gomer. The land will not be atoned for the blood which was spilled on it, etc. Which the Pasuk is saying by regarding Egla Rufa, the reason why you have to bring the Egla Rufa is because to tell you that, no, there's not going to be any atonement. L'aretz lo'yechuper. Only this, which is the Egla Rufa that comes in a situation of doubt, and if they find the murderer, that's when you, in the definitive situation, then you execute the murderer. But there's nothing else that can take care of it, and therefore it's an explicit exclusion saying that no, Yom Kippurim will not atone for this situation of doubt of the finding of the dead person. Or a third approach of Papa, he says, Amakra, the Pasuk is in Devarim, which also in the context of the parasha of Egla Rufa, says, Kapra l'amcha Yisrael v'gomer, atone for your people, the Jewish people. And the Pasuk continues, v'gomer, etc., asher padisa Hashem, which you have redeemed. And don't let the innocent blood be in the amongst your people, the Jewish people. Let there be atonement for the blood, which that's halacha of Egla Rufa. But one thing we see from the pasuk is that it's telling us ruuya kaparuzu. It's appropriate for this atonement the egla rufa shetachap al yoytzim mitzrayim, that it should atone for those who left Egypt, because when it says hashepadisa, who were the people that were redeemed? Is that the Jewish people from Mitzrayim were redeemed by Hashem. Now there were many Yom Kippurim that already passed from when this parasha is said in Devarim, from when the Jewish people were redeemed, and still the pasuk is saying that still would be appropriate to this atonement had they found a dead person and they didn't know who murdered him. But Yom Kippurim passed. Obviously, the pasuk is saying that the halacha of egla rufa applies even if it already passed Yom Kippurim. And therefore, all those five questions are not difficult on this principle of Rav Techlifa. But now the Gemara continues and says, okay, fine. So Hashem Damer, now that you said and we established, we found that it's not difficult, that chetchein makabay elamakam, regarding a sin, that the only one that knows about it is Hashem, the Yom Kippurim mechaper, so Yom Kippurim atones for it. So Eimah, then you should say the following idea. You say kimisyade lei basi Yom Kippurim. So even if you find out regarding the sin after Yom Kippurim, nami lamaisi chatas, that you're also not going to bring a karma chatas, because at the time when Yom Kippurim passed, the person didn't know about the fact that he sinned. Meaning we were saying all along that it applies for Ashram Tali. No one knows, even the person. So also a regular case of chatas, when a person a week after Yom Kippurim he finds out, oi, must have been that he did this b'shagig and he's chayav karma chatas, Yom Kippurim should take care of that too. And therefore he should not have to bring a karma chatas if he finds out about it after Yom Kippurim, and that during Yom Kippurim only Hashem knew about it. And not only for Hashem Tali. He says, Le mitzis amr. No, you can't say this. Why? Because the chsiv kra yediyah. The pasuk says the terminology of oihoida, or if he becomes aware of it, gabi chatas, by the chatas of an individual, v'gabi nasi, and also regarding the sin of the prince, meaning the king of the Jewish people, v'gabi tzibur, and also when the whole Jewish people sin. Now, that was not necessary, because you could expound from one of them that it says, oihoida, and at least, therefore, at least one of them is unnecessary, which comes to tell us, that's why I say oihoida, say any time you realize and you become aware, even after Yom Kippurim, that there was a sin, that you are going to have to bring that karban chatas, even after Yom Kippurim. And therefore, it's not like the principle that we were suggesting. To which, on this interpretation of Reb Ze'ira, the Gemara asks as follows. Wait a second, how can you say that one of these oihoidas, it says it three different times, was unnecessary to tell you that, no matter when you find out about it, you'll have to bring it, even after Yom Kippurim, but srichi, it's not true. You need all them to say individually by them, oihoida, and therefore it's not extra to tell us that after Yom Kippurim, if you find out, you'd still bring it. As the Gemara explains in detail. Dikas of Kor Gabi Yachad, had we only said oihoida by an individual when he does a sin by mistake and he brings the karma chatas, Savimina, I would have said, Kula miyachad loyasin, all the other cases cannot be learned out from the halacha of an individual, because Dikla Mefech, you could refute that learning, because you could say as follows, Ma liyachad, yeah, maybe by an individual we have this leniency that it's only that you're obligated when you have a definitive, because that's what oihoida means, when you find out about it, when there's a definitive awareness, because that there's a leniency that applies by individual, shakol karbon in the keva, because all his sacrifices are all female animals. In contrast, by the nasi, the king, where he brings generally a sar, which is a male animal, by all his other sins, and the tzibur, by all karbon, this brings a male animal. So I would say, oh, they have that stringency that has to be a male. Maybe we're stringent, and we say that even situations of doubt, that you would have to go ahead and bring a karmachatas. So therefore it was necessary to say that no, it's only oihoida, only when you become aware by the tzibra and the nasi that you have to bring the chatas. And if you're going to say no, nichtav gabi nasi, why couldn't it have just been written by the king? Menesi hamnach menasi, and learn out the other two categories from nasi, you can't, says the Gemara. Because yachad menasi leasi, you can't learn an individual from the king, because dikla mifech, you could refute that learning, and say, mal nasi, what could you compare to the king? Shekain, where he has a leniency, that ein b'shmi is kel, he's not in the halacha of it being sworn that he doesn't know testimony, because a king doesn't say testimony, and we don't say testimony about him. So therefore, the halacha of shmi is kel does not apply to him. Whereas by an individual, Shekin Yeshna Mishmi is called, where he has a liability for a carbon, for a sin of not saying appropriate, that he swore falsely regarding appropriate testimony, maybe he would have the stringency of even bringing a karmachatis in a situation of suffix, meaning regarding a doubt of a karmachatis. And not that you need oihoida, and therefore it has to say oihoida. And also, v'tzibur menasi loyasi, you can't learn out the halach of the tzibur from the public, from the king, because dikla mifach, you could also refute that learning and say, no, malo nasi shekim b'karbon in the keva. The king has a leniency in contrast to the tzibur, because specifically by idolatry, there the nasi does bring a female animal. Because by avoid desire, the pasuk says, "Vim nefesh achas techata b'shkaga." It says if one person, a singular person, will sin by mistake, which tells us that any individual, including a regular yachid, a nasi, the kohen gadol, they're all included. V'hikrav eis bash nasi lachatas, it brings a female animal, in contrast to the tzibur, it always brings male. And if you're going to say, okay, fine, but nichtav gabei tzibur, so then we could have written oyhoida by the tzibur. V'nasi yachid b'nasi minam. We could have learned out an individual and the nasi from the tzibur. No, so it's like more ikal mifrach. You could still refute that and say, no, malat tzibur, there's a leniency that applies by the tzibur, shekin in chayev, because they're not chayev for their halacha. It's called parhel m'davar. The tzibur's carbon is when the bezdin, the Sanhedrin, make an erroneous ruling, they have to bring a parhel m'davar, the bull of when they had the lapse of understanding. That's ela al helam davar. That halacha is only when the court ruled for the Jewish people, for the masses, that let's say forbidden fats are permitted, im shigas maisa, and it has to have, together with that, that the tzibur then went and ate the chalev with an erroneous action based on the rulings of the Sanhedrin. Which you don't need both those components by a regular yachad and a nasi, so you wouldn't be able to learn it out from the leniency of that of the tzibur. Okay, and if you're going to say, fine, mechadi yadila asi, you're right, you wouldn't know any two of them from one of them that says oyhoida, but teisi chadi yadi mitarti, maybe you're going to say, oh, what's the interpretation of Reb Zeira? Because one is extra, because you could have learned that one from the other two. And that says the Gemara, no. Loi nechtiv, if you're going to say, loi nechtiv yidei gabi yachid, that don't write, let's say, by the case of an individual, of oyhoida, v'teisi minasa v'tzibur, and that you learn it out from the nasi and the tzibur. Now, you can't say that. Why not? Because you can't say what's classically called, oh, v'chazra din, to learn out from the other one, like we generally say, and you'll say, okay, wait a second. If you're going to say that you can't learn it from Nasi because it's not B'Shmias HaKol, so that's what the Gemara is saying. No, you can't say that, oh, it's Tzibur Yechichu, and then you'll be able to learn out the Halach of Yachid from a common denominator, both of them, so why is Oyhoid over there? Because Ekle Mifrach, you could still refute from learning out from both of them, because Mal Nasi B'Tzibur, what we find is a leniency that's specifically by the king and the Tzibur, Shekin Einim B'Shmias HaKol, they both have this Halach that there's no making them swear, hey, you know, testimony. Because a king, we said, we never forced him to say testimony, and the tzibur, you can't make a tzibur to swear regarding this oath of not knowing testimony. Whereas regarding an individual, he has a stringency regarding this halacha of being chayv a karban for swearing falsely regarding knowing testimony. So you wouldn't know yachid from those two. And if you're going to say, okay, don't write yediyah by the tzibur, but taste me yediyah the yachad v'nasi, saying, okay, learn that from a common denominator of an individual and the king. And that's what the Gemara no here also, most definitely you can't learn that from inside Hashava. Because if you're going to say, oh, ma'alu nasi, you can't learn that from the nasi because he has a leniency of that his carbon is in the keva, you can't say yachad techiach, because ikle mifrach refuted by saying ma'alu yachad v'nasi, both of them have that leniency, shekin yesh b'karbana in the keva, both of them have, on some level, and nasi has at least in the case of avodah zarah, that his carbon is a female, tema b'tzibah, shein b'karbana in the keva, whereas by the tzibah, the carbon is never in the keva. So you wouldn't know it from those two cases, which they have those leniency. And if you're going to say, okay, lo nichtav gabi nasi, don't write it oyhoida by the nasi, v'tesim yediyah the yachad v'tzibur, and you'll know it from a common denominator of the oyhoida that it says by the yachad and the tzibur, that's the case that the Gemara says ultimately is the interpretation of Reb Zeira. Why? Because my parachta, what are you going to ask over there? Imishum de'en and the girsa takes out the next three words. If it's because that ein chayavin elahelm davav chulu, that you're saying that no, you can't learn out from there because, like we found by the tzibur, it has a certain leniency. It's only with helm dava and shigas maisa. The court has to give the ruling, and the people have to follow on it. Well, yachad dechiach, the carbon of a yachad will disprove that. Where as the girsa takes out the parentheses and adds on the words the yeshno iname b'shigas maisa, where there it's also only with an erroneous action, and that's the same thing like that of the nasi. And ve'imishum the yesh b'chal b'karban in the kiv. But if you're going to say no, you can't learn out from the individual because their oldest carbons are female, in contrast to that of the nasi, the tzibur will disprove that as the primary point, because the imba carbon in the keva, they don't have the leniency of the keva, and still, it has to be specifically ohaida. Therefore, the Gemara concludes, like Reb Zeira, ad de islohen yediyah le'mechayv, and still the halacha is, until there's awareness by both the tzibur and the yachad, there's not going to be liability. So then, laman li the chas of yediyah gab nasi. So why does it say then the halacha of ohaida by the nasi? That says the Gemara, that's the answer of Reb Zeira. It may in Leguf, if it's not teaching us anything regarding itself, because we would already know a common denominator of the halacha of the tzibur and the yachid, from both of those. This teaches us the source of halacha that we mentioned before. It's coming to tell us that even if you become aware of this sin after Yom Kippurim, the Ma'isi Chattis, that still you're going to go ahead and bring the Karma Chattis, it's not the same as the Ashram Tali, but the only one that knows about it is Hashem, which we said here also, the Yom Kippurim, no one knew about it but Hashem. But still, that's what we're finding, that Oyhoide says, whenever you become aware of it, even after Yom Kippurim, you're going to have to bring your carbon, and that's from the extra Oyhoide that it says regarding the Nasi. However, Bayama, he disagrees. He says, no. Either like Siv Yediyah Gabi Nasi, had it not written Oyhoide by the Nasi, Miyachav Etzibah Loyasi, you would not know. That's not the extra one, to say that, oh, that's how you know this halachi, because you wouldn't know it from a common denominator of Yachad and Tzibah. Why? Mishum Dikil Mifak. He says, still there can be a refutation on that learning. Because you could say, Mali Yachad and Tzibah, if regarding an individual and the Tzibah, Shekin Einasu and Lishtanais, they never change. Their status is always, he's always individual, and there's always the Tzibah. Which, as Rashi points out, although that's not a refutation of a leniency or a stringency, but the Gemara still says in Chundaf Koftez Vavma Beis that regarding a Mahatsad, which is a learning out from a common denominator of two things, you could ask as long as it has a dissimilarity in any way, even if it's not regarding a leniency and a stringency. Whereas time, if you're going to say, as you continue to Vavma Beis, Benasi, Sha'as Lishtanis, how could you learn out this halacha of saying that the leniency of being chayv is only when you become aware? And to say that the one of Nasi is extra because you would know it from the Yachid and the Tzibur, you wouldn't, because a Nasi's status is subject to change. Because if he leaves his post as king, he actually becomes back like a regular individual with not having his unique halachas of a Sar of the Nasi, which the Torah speaks about, but rather like that of an individual. So therefore, you wouldn't know it from them. And therefore, according to Abai, we're back to the question, how do we know this halacha? There's no extra terminology about Ayhaida to say that even after Yom Kippurim. Say, Lama Abai, rather Abai says Mahacha. The source is from here. Because he says, Mechti, let's see. Mitzvahs, yalfim ad-dadi. We learn that the halachas of these three categories of a yachad, a nasi, and a tzibur, where all of them say the terminology of mitzvahs. And therefore, as the Gemara says in Harias, we learn out gezeirah shava, one from all the others, which as the Gemara says over there in Harias, to tell us that they're only for things that there's a liability if you do it deliberately karis, then if you do it by mistake, you have on this ishagaga achatas. So therefore, says Abaye, for this idea also we should learn out one from the other. So, given the Yafim Ad-Dadi, so since you're learning out all three from each other, Lamali the Chas of Shalash Yediyas Gabi Yachad, Gabi Nasi, Gabi Tzibah. So why does that have to say Ahayda? But all three, say it by one, and the Gezer Shavah tells us it applies to the other ones. And that's what it says Abayim, in Lugufayim, if it's not teaching us regarding the context of themselves, the Hagimirila and Mitzvahs Mitzvahs, because you already know the other ones from at least if one of them would say it, from the Gezer Shavah Mitzvahs Mitzvahs, so Tinei Inin, Hechad Mitzvahdeh, Lebasi Mikipurim. So it's rather, it's coming to tell us to this idea that no matter when you find out about it, even after Yom Kippurim, the Ma'isi Chattas, that still you bring a Karma Chattas, unlike the halacha of Rav Tachlifa that we said regarding like the halacha of Hashem Tali, that even though the only one that knew about it was Hashem, still you have to bring the Karma Chattas when you find out about it. So based on this idea, the Gemara says, okay, so Ema then say as follows. Kimis Yadei Lebasi Yom Kippurim, just like you said that, okay, if you find out after Yom Kippurim, and you didn't know anything about it, only Hashem knew about it, still we say, Hu Demaisi Chattas, you still have to bring a Karma Chattas after Yom Kippurim, and the reason is, Mishum Di Yom Kippurim Lav Al Hadein Chat, because Yom Kippurim didn't come for this sin alone, Ka'asi, it wasn't coming to atone for this sin. Aval Ashem Talay, but regarding Ashem Talay, the Al Hadein Chat Ka'asi, when the person doesn't know if he sinned, same idea, doesn't know. So a person brings the Ashram Talay, but that Ashram Talay is coming specifically for this sin. So, right, like we said before, he said Yom Kippurim is not going to take care of his obligation of his chattas. It says Oyhoida, telling us, no matter when you find out, even after Yom Kippurim. But that we could understand because Yom Kippurim is not coming just for this. Yom Kippurim is taking care of a lot of sins of the Jewish people. So, okay, that's what Oyhoida says, so fine. So when you find out the chet, you have to bring the karma chattas. But regarding the Ashram Talay, Dala Den Chet Kasi, it's coming specifically for this sin that you're not sure if you committed. So then we should say, no, that there the atonement is forever. The Chemis Yadei Labasa, the Kamaisi Ashram Tali, that there the halacha should be unlike what we just said. That if you find out that, oh, that there was a sin that's obligated for a chattas after the Ashram Tali is brought, then loy maase chattas, that the person should not have to bring a karma chattas. Then Rabbi says, no, Amakra, the Pasuk says, Oyhoi Dalov. Or if it becomes a weird term, which was these terminologies we were talking about up until now, which is the sin that he sinned it, and the pasuk says so he brings his carbon. Oyhoide love is saying mikom makom. No, whatever the situation is, not only after Yom Kippurim, but even after the Ashram Tali, a person still has to bring his karma chattas. So then the question is, saying that in all situations, that even after the Hashem Tali, if someone becomes aware that he did definitively sin, he has to bring his karma chatas. So Hashem Tali lamabas. So what's the point of bringing the Hashem Tali when you don't know if you'll have to bring the karma chatas anyway? So Rabbi Zeira, he says, Shem Meis, that if the person dies before finding out, Meis would lay off it, that he died without a sin, because he already brought a carbon for it. That's the point of bringing the Hashem Tali. I'm asking Rava, Rava asking that interpretation. Meis? You're saying in case he dies? Misim Amrakis. The death itself atones for him. Why would he have to bring Hashem Tali? Elam Rava, rather Rava says, is Lahogin love min hayisur. It's to protect him from afflictions. I mean, even if he doesn't die, the halacha is that since he didn't have atonement, then he could get Yisurim for that. The Hashem Tali protects for that until he definitively finds out, and then he'll bring the Karma Chatzis, which he is still obligated. Now the Mishnah said, in contrast, that Chatzis Ha'if HaBaal HaSafik V'chulu, regarding if a woman not sure regarding if she gave birth to a child that's obligating her in the carbon, so she has to, out of doubt, bring the Chatzis Ha'if, where even after Yom Kippurim passed. Now the Mishnah then said also that in Mishnah Nimlikon Noidela, if she finds out that after the Malika, that she had given birth. So on that says the Mishnah that you cover, that then the bird has to be buried. Now, but Omar Rav, he says, v'chiper. She didn't know when she's bringing the Chatzis Ha'if, if she's obligated or not. After the Malik is done, we find out that it was a real birth, so that said the Mishnah she has to bury it, but Rav says, v'chiper, but she already has atonement for the Chatzis Ha'if that she had to bring, is already taken care of in this one that was brought out of doubt that maybe she had to bring. Now that has to Gemara, if that's the case, that Rav saying that, okay, it works for it, then a mighty cover. Then why does the Mishnah say that it has to be buried? It's like a bona fide Chatzis Ha'if, which should be eaten. Says the Gemara, l'fisha'in mishtameres, because it wasn't safeguarded. In other words, since this Chatzis Ha'if was only brought out of doubt, and therefore was never being brought for the intention of it being eaten by the Kahanim, because can't eat it because it might not be a real carbon. There might be malika on a chulin animal, on a bird, which it actually makes into nevela. So since it wasn't for eating purposes, so they didn't really safeguard it appropriately, and therefore became invalid with what's called hesek hadas, with not being conscious about it, because maybe it became tummy. That's the Gemara. Why? Amos lemishtameres. When was it not safeguarded? Imi kara, if in the beginning before malika was done, chayahavya, it was still alive, and a living creature cannot become tummy. And the Elib Saif, if after the Malika was done, then to the contrary, Kumanatala, then they do protect it. Since it's Kachem, they safeguard it no matter what the situation is. So why is it buried? So the Rather actually says the Gemara that, no, the understanding we had up until now is incorrect. Masnitin benoidala de lo yolda. Actually, the case of the Mishnah was talking about, not like we thought that Rav is going on the halacha of the Mishnah, that it atones for it when we find that there's actually, what did we find out? The Mishnah doesn't say, find out, oh, it wasn't a situation of doubt. We find it definitively, then it's buried. It's not that we find out that, oh, that she really gave birth to a child, that she's obligated, and that this is taking care of it. But no deloy deloyal, do we find that she, no, although we thought it was that, we find that, no, we ascertain she didn't give birth to anything that's obligating in a carbon. So, bedinu demotez banos. Actually, the logic, the halacha would actually dictate that then the bird that had malika done in it should actually be permitted to have benefit from it. It doesn't have to be buried, because it was regular chulin. Now, although generally that's what's called chulin da'azara, and that becomes forbidden, that you don't say over here, because the Torah only made forbidden chulin that was slaughtered in the azara, which applies to shechita, but here by the birds in the Beis HaMikdash, malik is done to it. So there's no prohibition about chulin that was slaughtered in the azara. So it should be like a regular permitted chulin thing that's not forbidden. So mighty cover, so why does the Mishnah say that it's buried? It's rabbinic that the rabbis made a decree that it should be forbidden to have benefit, that because people might say, oh, you see, you could have benefit from a Chatzis Ha'if Misafik, which out of doubt actually is forbidden. Here, it turned out that it really wasn't a Chatzis Ha'if. We know that it's Chulin, but people might not know that, and therefore, if it was only found out after the Malika was done, therefore it's going to be rabbinically forbidden. Now, V'chiyat Madarav, so when was this teaching Rav said that it's going to, V'chipa, it's going to provide atonement? There's no atonement there because there's no obligation. It's actually going on a previous Mishnah, in Perek Dam Shechita, Nafcham Beis and Mabeis. Mishnah said, Ha'isha shevi chatzis ha'if b'safik. If a woman brought, again, the situation, did she give birth to something that obligates a carbon or not? So she brings her chatzis ha'if out of doubt. So the Mishnah said, if before Malika was done, nothing was done to the bird yet, and they found out that it's really she had a bona fide birth that obligates her in the carbon, so tasavadi, the Mishnah says, okay, she let her bring it as her definitive carbon. And the reason for that is, shemimin shevi alahoida, from the same species that a woman brings in the situation when she's not sure, Mevi'a Lavad is the same type of animal, that the bird that she brings when she is sure. That was the halacha of the Mishnah. And that Rav came along and he said, but if after the Malika was already done, only then do they find out that she had given birth to a bona fide child. That's what Amar Rav. He says, okay, still, mazadama, you spray its blood, umaitzadama, and you squeeze out its blood, which is the halachas that are done by a bona fide chatas, as the pasuk says, hey, vehizam adama chatas al kir mezbech, you spray from the blood of the chatas on the wall of mezbech, vanisha badam yimatzim, whatever's left, you do mitzi. Mehazah is that you hold the head of the bird and you go up and down with it and the blood sprays onto the Mizbech. Mitzah is when you take the actual place where the bird had Malika done by its neck and you squeeze it on the wall of the Mizbech and squeeze out the blood. V'chipra. That's what Rabbi is saying. And it'll be atonement because, yeah, what you were bringing was the same thing what you bring for situations of definite obligation. And even if you find it after Malika, okay, continue doing what you're doing. Do the hazah, do the mitzah, provide atonement, and mutaras bachila. And you could go ahead and eat the meat, because not anymore suffering. And what we know for sure was a valid chatasayif. Now, on that halach of Rav, which again, there was going on the previous Mishnah, Rabbi Yechonam, he actually disagrees, says, nasur bachila, that the meat of the bird is forbidden to be eaten. Gezerah, here it's a gezerah, similar to the previous halach that we said on halach of our Mishnah, regarding the same type of a case, regarding the chata sa'if that comes to the situation of doubt, we're not sure what was regarding the birth. So says the Bryce as follows. If we find out that, like we explained, was the halacha of our Mishnah, that we find out that before the Malika was done, that she didn't give birth, so that's teitzi l'chulna t'mach l'chaverta. So that, if it was before any Malika was done, so go out and be chulin, it could be sold to her friend. Now, we had spoken about, but if, let's say, after the Malika. So then we said, okay, that's going to be forbidden. It has to be buried because of the concern that people might not know that we found out that it's not chul. But continues to Braisa, but let's say, imachle nimlika, same thing, but let's say Malika wasn't done yet. And noidele shiel the vade, then they find that the opposite way. That they find that, no, actually, that she did give birth that's obligated. So, tasa vade, so we said, okay, since nothing was done yet, so she could go ahead and make it as a definitive obligation, because the same species that she was about to bring in the situation of when she's not clear if she's obligated is the same type you bring when you do find out al-hoida that you know that you're obligated. Now, but continues the Braisa, and this Allah of Rabbi Yechonon, if after Malika was done, then we find out that she did give birth. So here the Shita Megabetzes and Eisid Beis adds on the words, which is obvious was part of the Girsa. So Maze Umatza Dama V'Chipra. So here that we find out that she had given birth. So you spray the blood, you squeeze out the blood, and it's going to be providing atonement. That part everyone agrees to. Now, but Vasur Bachila, which this is the part that's like a Birchanan, it's actually forbidden to be eaten, like a Birchanan said, because maybe people are going to say, people don't know after Malika they found out that she was obligated, people are going to say, oh, Chatzav Abala Safik is eaten, which is not the case. So there it's forbidden to be eaten because of that Gzera. Now, continues the Braisa, Mitzah Dama, let's say that he already has squeezed out the blood. V'achkech Noidish Yolda, and only then later did they find out, after the blood was already sprayed, everything was already done, and then they found out that it was a bona fide birth. So here, Asura Fila Bahana. Here, the halach is going to be that the bird's going to be forbidden not only to be eaten, but even to have benefit from it. And the reason why is because it's going to have the halach like Ol Chatzis Oif Habala Safik, where it's forbidden to be eaten because maybe it was chulin, and therefore it's an avela, and therefore it's even forbidden to have benefit, not only to eat, because maybe it's hektish. It's forbidden to be eaten because maybe it's not hektish. But it's forbidden to have a no because maybe it is hektish. And hektish is only given to be eaten, and it's forbidden to have any other benefit from it because you can't give it to dogs. So here it's going to be forbidden even to have benefit from it. Why? Shalasafik ba mitchilasa, because in the beginning it was coming for a situation of doubt. So therefore, it's like, since the avodah was already done, it's like it was halacha of loy noida, because kippur sveka, it already atoned for her situation of doubt, v'ochla, and it was done. So it's like because it was done in that way, although now, retroactively, we know that it was an obligation. And however, the halacha is that when it was done, it was like loy hoida. So therefore, we're going to give it the same halacha like loy hoida, which is that you can't do anything with it. You can't eat it, because of maybe it's not hektish, and you can't benefit from it because maybe it is hektish, and although we find that it actually was an obligation, although it provides atonement, halacha is that it's going to still be forbidden to have benefit, again, because of the appearance of that it has, like, of the situation of lehoide, because the whole avodah was done in that state of lehoide. And again, therefore we have two braises that supports either interpretation. Now, Gemara continues with halacha, the next Mishnah, containing halachas of these parakim of the carbon of Asham, specifically regarding here the halacha of Me'ila, which is one of the Asham Vadais of Asham Me'ila. Says the Mishnah as follows, Hamafish Beis Slam. Someone designates two Slam, two Shkalim, which that's the halacha of a carbon Asham, like the Pasuk says, Be'erko Chakest of Shkalim B'Shakal HaKadosh, a person has to, his carbon Asham has to be worth two Slam, and he separates the two Slam La'asham. He was obligated in some carbon that requires a carbon Asham. So he has these monies, which are designated as the halachas of a carbon Asham. V'lakach ben shnei elam la'asham. Now, he's supposed to buy one ram that's worth two slum, because that's the minimum amount of the Asham, and he had designated the monies for that. Instead, he buys two rams for as carbon Ashams. Each one he spent one sell on. Says the Mishnah as follows. So if it turns out that one of them goes up in price, and one of them is now worth two slum, which was the amount of the primary obligation of his original Asham, says the Mishnah, okay, Yikarv La'ashamai, so he'll bring that for his carbon Asham, because that's the two slum worth of the Asham that it has to be. V'ashen the year actually is time, and the second ram that he bought, it will graze until it develops a blemish, because it was bought from monies that were designated for Asham, with the intention of being used for carbon Asham. And then you sell it, and from its monetary proceeds you use to buy the donation for the Beis HaMikdash, like all Meiser Ashram. When you have excess money from an Ashram, where here you do, because one of the animals is itself worth to Islam, so from the excess you use for a Nadava, for a carbon on the Mizbech. That's case number one. Maybe there was no halacha of Me'ila. Lakach ben Shnei Eilim L'chum. Let's say, to the contrary, he takes these two slums, and he buys, with each seller, he buys a different ram, but for chulin purposes, meaning he wants to eat them, and there hence he is committed misappropriation with these monies. Now, with that halacha, what happens is that actually that's a sin, but it actually makes that the monies become unconsecrated. So now he has an obligation to repay to Hekdesh what he stole, which was his two slum worth, which was supposed to be for his carbon that was obligated. So here you have, as the Mishnah will describe, an ashram that's worth 10 zuz, that's going to be for his principal, which was two slum, and the fifth, which is another two zuz. That's for payment of the first ashram that he was obligated, which he stole from Hekdesh. Then, the other animal that he bought will be an ashram that's worth two slum. That will be for his asham me'ilis, which he has to actually bring a new ashram for when he misappropriates, which is always when there's a misappropriation, you have to bring an asham me'ilis. So there is the Mishnah as follows. If echad yafa beislam, if one of these two rams that he bought, again, we're talking about where they all went up in price because he bought each one for a seller, but one is worth two slaim, the echad yafa asar zuz, one's worth even more. It's worth 10 zuz. 10 zuz is two slaim and two zuz. So it says the Mishnah as follows. So yafa shtei slaim, the one that's worth two slaim, so yikrav la asham, that'll bring for his asham, which, as we'll explain in the Gemara, it refers to his asham me'ilis, his new carbon, because he misappropriated by using these monies for what he wanted for his own chulin purposes. So the one that's worth two slum will be for this new asham me'ilis. Vasheni, the second one, which is worth 10 zuz, that he's going to bring that le'me'ilasai, which the Gemara is going to ultimately explain, is that he's going to bring that one to take the place of the first asham that he was supposed to bring, which that will exempt him from the principle that he stole, which was the two slum, which is 8 zuz. And it's also going to have, which, because when someone steals from Hekdesh, not only does he have to pay back the principal, he has to also add on a fifth, which is another two zuz. So therefore, that's going to be included in the second animal. Now, obvious at this point that when we're calling this one Me'ilasai, we mean for Gezeloi, what he stole. The second one's for what he stole, which was the first carbon, and the added fifth of that principal that he stole. Case number three is if, let's say, with these two slum he purchased, not like the first case, both for Ashams, and not like the second case, both for Chulin, but somewhere in the middle. He bought two animals, not one, as he was supposed to, rather, but Echel Asham, Echel Chulin, one he bought to be his carbon Asham, and the other one he bought to be Chulin for himself, which that means he misappropriated in one seller, because the other seller he bought a carbon Asham. So says the Mishnah, Im Hoyeshal Asham Yafesh Teislam, if the one that he bought for the Asham ultimately ended up being the right price, because it went up from one seller to be two slum, so Yikiv La'ashamai. So then, that'll bring for his original carbon Asham that he was supposed to bring, and the reason why we're bringing this one is because this one is the one that he bought for his original Asham obligation, and it's from the monies that he designated for it, and now it's ultimately worth two slum. Now, V'hasheni, the second one which he bought for Chulin, that one he brings, Le'mi Lasai, to be his obligation of his Asham Me'ila. So it's obvious now, although we're using the same terminology as the previous case of Me'ilasai, we actually don't refer that to what he stole, rather referring to the actual ram of the Asham, of the Asham Me'ilas. That's what we mean, that that's going to be Le'Me'ilasai, which is its own obligation of being Asham Me'ilas. So that takes care of the Asham part of the Me'ilah, but then there's the other component of the repayment, V'yave imasela, and with that he has to bring a sela, which is the principle that he misappropriated, which he bought for the second ram to be for chulin. And like we said, now ultimately that's excess, because the first one is already worth two slum, so it's being brought as nedava, because it's from the excess of the first asham, which it was not used for as it was supposed to be, it was misappropriated, v'chumsha, and the fifth, which this sela and the fifth he has to bring from his own pocket, because this that the asham went up in price to two slum, so you paid back hektish. You didn't pay back hektish. It was always hektishes. That's the shvach of hektish. He still misappropriated one sela, which he has to pay back, and the fifth, besides the asham ilus that he's bringing, therefore has to come from his own pocket. Those are the three cases of the Mishnah. So now the Gemara asks regarding what we had already alluded to in the interpretation of the Mishnah, regarding the three cases we spoke about, which primarily we're going to discuss the last two, because the first one, there actually was no halach of me'ilah. So the Gemara says, my milasi diktani resha. First starts off with what it's called the resha. The sefer, the resha is the second case, the sefer is the third case. And by both of them, we use the terminology of the milasi, which we're going to see, as we already explained, means different things in each one of those cases, as the Gemara points out. The Gemara says, okay, what does it mean, me'ila? It says in the resha, meaning in the second case, when it said that he took the two slum that he separated for his carbon asham, which is the minimum amount for asham, and he went instead of buying one animal for his carbon asham, he bought two animals, two rams, each one for his own purposes, which is an act of misappropriation, both for chulin. So that the Mishnah says, so the halacha is as follows. The first one, which is went up in price and now is worth two slum, that's la shamai, that's worth for his carbon asham. V'hasheni le'milas, and the second one's for his me'ila. What does that mean? Says the Gemara as follows. Ile me'el asham, if you think it means to say, as the simple understanding would sound like that, yeah, the first one is for the principle that he stole, which is the asham that he had to bring, which is La Ashamai, which is now worth two slum. And the second one is for a new Asham that is obligated, which is his Asham Me'ilois, it's the ram of his Asham. That says the Gemara. Why? Because you're saying that the second one that we're talking about, L'Milasai, is worth 10 Zuzim, which besides the two slum, which is 8 Zuzim, for his Asham Me'ilois, included also the other two Zuzim. Says the Gemara, remember, is that to say, the Chaymish Badi Ail Maisilei, that you're bringing the additional penalty of the biblical fifth, which you have to add on when someone does me'ila, besides paying back the principal, that he has to add on the fifth, that's going to come together with the ram? Meaning, if let's say he brings a nasham me'ilis, which is worth more than the minimum two slaim, how much more a fifth of the principal that he stole? Are you going to say by getting a fatter animal, that of the nasham me'ilis, if it has the fifth in there, that's going to exempt him from having to pay back to hektish the amount of the fifth? Because here you're saying with the nasham me'ilis, if you say hashin le'milas, it means the nasham me'ilis is the fifth over there. Does that work together? But V'ksiv, the Pasuk says, V'isa shechatem in HaKadosh Yishalom, and it talks about the halacha of Me'ila, says that that who sinned from the hektish, he misappropriated, he has to pay. V'escha mishisa yesev lov, and the fifth he has to add on to it. So Amos, you see, from the Pasuk, is b'had gezeloi ma'isilei. With what he stole, when he repays the principal, he adds a fifth onto that. It comes with that payment, but not with the asham me'ilas. There's two things when the person does me'ila. He has to pay back with a fifth, and he has to bring a carbon because he committed that sin of me'ila. So how can you say that the second one is le'milasa, is the asham me'ila, because the ten zuz included there is a fifth? The fifth doesn't work together with the asham me'ilas. It works together with the principle that was stolen. Void, moreover, the Gemara points out, is katani sefer. The next case in the Mishnah said that if he purchased with the two slum, echel asham ve'echel l'chol, where he only misappropriated with one seller, because one of the slum he actually used for the designation of the asham. And with the other one, he went to buy for himself an animal. So the Mishnah said, im hayashal asham yafesh de slum. So if the one that he had used for an asham went up in price and now is worth the minimum of two slum, so you could lasham, and that's the one that'll bring for the asham that he had to bring, which was ready beforehand. Whatever sin he committed, whatever it was for, he had to bring an asham. Vasheni limalasa. And the second one he'll bring for his, quote, me'ilah. Now here, obviously, when it says me'ilasai, it means the ayil asham, the ram for his asham of me'ilois. How do we know that? Because the Mishnah says, v'yave ima selav achemshe. And with that me'ila, which obviously refers to not the tashlumen, because what you bring with this me'ila, which obviously means the asham me'ilis, which is the ram, you bring with it the selah, which is the amount that he misappropriated, and its fifth, But one thing we see is Am Chaimish Badi Gizela Maisile. What do you bring the fifth with? Not with the Asham Me'ilas, but rather with the principle that he stole. So therefore, how could you say in the opening the case, the ratio, the second case, that Lemilasa means the Asham Me'ilas, then how could you have the fifth included over there? Now, Rashi points out an obvious question. Why, if you're asking from a Pasig, do you then bring our Mishnah to support the same idea? That's what's known in Halacha as like what you need something else to support a pasuk. So that says Rashi, no, the reason why the Gemara brought the Mishnah is to say that no, maybe you would explain the halacha of the pasuk specifically when someone benefited from hektish, let's say a bedek habayis, or from something, a carbon of a hektish of a oila. So therefore you could understand why the fifth that you're bringing cannot be included with the ram of the ashram that you're bringing for Asham Me'ilas, because the fifth has to be like the principle, and the principle is an ashram over here, and the fifth is for some other purpose. But over here, where the principle itself was an ashram, what did you misappropriate? A carbon ashram that you're designated to Tzlam for, so maybe when you bring the fifth with the Asham Me'ilas that you're bringing, then the fifth would be appropriate. That's why we have to bring the end of the Mishnah, the Sefer, to say that no, even though both of them are Shammais, even so, the Chaimish has to come with the Gizeloi, with the principle that you're paying back, and not with the Asham Me'ilas. So therefore, we're by the question, so why did the ratio of the Mishnah say that with, if we're interpreting Me'ilas, it means the Ail Ha'asham, the Me'ila doesn't mean what you misappropriate, it means the Asham Me'ilas, but how could you bring the Sefer? The Asham Me'ilas has to come with the Gizeloi. So Ella rather says, the Gemara in the Gir says, Samai Milas. So obviously, what does it mean when it says in the ratio, which again we're calling the second case, Mi'ilas? It doesn't mean the Asham Me'ilas. It means the Ishani Mehektish. It refers to what someone had benefit from Hektish, which was Mishtei Slam Nafreshin Ela Asham, taking out the word Vyeshnoi, which was the two Slam, the two coins that he separated for his Karban Asham. And instead, instead he bought two rams for his own unconsecrated purposes. That's what the Mishnah says, the halacha is as follows. So the Yafesh de Islam, so the one of the rams that he bought, which is worth two slum, so makrivle el asham. That's the one when we say la ashamai. La ashamai doesn't mean, as we had first interpreted, his original asham. It means his me'ila, his asham me'ilas, where it's worth the minimum now of two slum. Now, the Yafa, Sar Zuz, the one that's worth 10 Zuz, Yoiv Le Lamaydis Hanim Hektish. That's the one that's actually going to be for what he had benefited from Hektish. The Havale Gizele, that's what he stole, which was an Ashim of Tuslam, which in 10 Zuz included 8 Zuzim, which is Tuslam, for what he stole, V'chumshay, and the fifth, which is the added 2 Zuz. And therefore comes out, and we already explained this in the Mishnah, my Me'ilasi. So what does it mean in the opening case of Me'ilo? It means Gizele. It means his misappropriation, what he stole. What did he steal? What did he steal was his first Asham, because that's what he benefited from Hektish, which was the two Islam he separated for his Asham that he had. And instead, he went and he bought two rams for himself. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. The one that's worth two Islam, he brings for his Asham, meaning his ram for his Asham Me'ilois. That's what the Mishnah means. The one that's worth 10 Zuz is actually for what he had benefited from Hektish. In other words, for his original Asham that he had designated, it should be the payment for the principal with the added fifth that he had done, Mi'ila, and that's what the Mishnah means when it says Lemilasi, it means for his act of misappropriation. However, on that, the Gemara asks, okay, so then B'mai Ukimta Lemilasi Derisha, how do you explain the word Mi'ilasi of the first case, meaning the second case? It means Gizele, what he stole. And with that comes the fifth. Says the Gemara, B'dema Seifa, look at the last case of the Mishnah. Said, if with the two slum he purchased Echel Asham, Echel Chulon, one, okay, this was the middle case. One ram he bought for the Asham, one he bought for his own purposes. So then the Mishnah said, so, Im Hayishal Asham Yafesh Te Islam, if the one that he bought for his original Asham went up to be worth two slum, so you give Lashami, he'll bring that for his original Asham that he had to bring, which is worth the minimum now. Vasheni Lema'ila, the second one will be for his Me'ila, the Yavi Imasel Vachumsha, and also with that he'll bring what he had misappropriated, which was one seller, with the additional biblical penalty of a fifth. But one thing says, the Gemara, Alma Me'ilase, obviously the word Me'ilase in the case of the Sefer means Ail Asham, the ram of his Asham Me'ilas. Obviously, when the Sefer talks about Ashamai, it means his first Asham, because he bought that for the designation of his Asham, and it's worth now that to Islam, obviously you're going to bring that one for his original Asham. And when it says Me'ilase, it means his Asham Me'ilas, and not Me'ila like we interpreted in the ratio of the monetary principle that he owes. Because it says that he something else he has to actually use for the monetary that he owes. Which it says you have to bring Selav Chumshay for the Tashlum of a Karen Chemish. So what does it mean Me'ilasi? So it means the ram of the Asham Me'ilas. So says the Gemara, the same Mishnah, two cases right after each other. The first case, when it says the word mi'ilasai, it means for what he misappropriated, which is what he stole. And the Gatan type of Chazayin Manav, Sefer Karli Milasai, Ayalashim. When the Sefer used the same word mi'ilasai, it doesn't mean what he misappropriated, it means the Asham of his Me'ilis. Is that so? So the Gemara says yes, because obviously the Tan of the Mishnah had to differentiate in the titles of these two ashamas, because like we said, one of these ashamas that he's bringing is to fulfill his original obligation why he had separated two slum in the first place. The second one is for now his new sin of misappropriation, what's called asham me'ilas. So he had to call one of them ashamai, and he had to call the other one me'ilasai. So therefore as follows, the Gemara says, yes, Reisha, the first case, the Havali Island, the gear says, the Zavin, the ram that he bought was worth the Karen, the principal of the what he had misappropriated, v'chaim shay, and the added fifth, because it was worth 10 zuzim. So kari leili milasa gizelis, in that case, he's calling what he stole milasa, in other words, which is the principal and the fifth. Now, why are you calling it milasa? Because the Tana wants to tell us, wait, why is this ashram different than classically, the halacha of ashram is generally two slum. Why here is it more than two slum? It's not only 8 zuz, but 10 zuz. Oh, that's milasa. That's the ashram that he's bringing, that's because of, that's actually for the misappropriation of what he had taken, plus the added fifth. So it's not going to be just the amount that he took, which was 8 zuz. He's making up what he took, which was the original ashram, which is 8 zuz plus an added 2, because you have to give an added fifth. Now, but the one that he's bringing for his asham me'ilos, that we're calling ashamai, his karban ashram, for his sin, for his new sin. But that's why we called what he stole, which again is original asham, which he's bringing now, what he's paying back with an added fifth, is called milasin. But sefer, and here also the gear says, "Doloi haval ayl de zavin karen v'chemish." Here, the ram that he bought is not worth the principal and the added fifth, because here we said that the ram is worth two slum, and the principal and the fifth is only a selah and the fifth, because again, one he used for the asham, the other one is what he used for the chulun. So therefore, the ram is obviously not coming for the payment of what he stole, rather it's coming for the ram of his asham me'ilis. So karli asham me'ilasai. So therefore he calls his ram me'ilasai because of what's called asham me'ilis. The avi masela b'chaim sheh, and he'll bring with it the selah and the fifth, which is what it misappropriated, because here in this case, although in contrast to the previous case where it was subsumed in the tashlumen was the original carbon, here the original carbon was already in the first seller that he separated, although it was one seller, it ultimately went up in price. That was the carbon that he originally brought. On that he didn't pay back anything, because that's called shvach hektish. And it's also not subsumed in the second one, because the second one is not worth the fifth and the seller. The second one is actually for zasham me'ilis, which that's its own obligation. You can't include the subsuming of the payment in that. So therefore, that's why we're saying that the difference between the Reisha and the Sefer is that, yes, Milasa means different things. In the case of the Reisha, where the exact amount of the original carbon with its fifth is included in one of the animals, and we're wondering, well, why is that Ashram going to be worth than it's normally more than it usually is, which is usually two Slum, is going to be another two Zuzim. That's because it's including, that's what we're calling Milasa, to have you understand that it's the original Ashram with also the added fifth, because that's the Karen, paying back what you took, which is from the original one, because Asham actually means the Asham Me'ilis, and Milasa means the original one with the added fifth. The case of the Sefer, no, we're saying that the original one is obviously Asham means the original one, because that was the one they designated for it. It was where you took the two slum, one seller from the Amish, one for a chulin. So that one, which ultimately went up, and what it went up cannot include the payment, because that was a Shvach Hektish, it went up for Hektish, it was always the Asham. So that would be for his original Asham. Now that he misappropriated his cell, he has to do two things, payment and asham me'ilis. So when you say milasai, that obviously refers to his asham me'ilis. And with that, you bring a cell of a chaymish, which is what he misappropriated, which that can't be included, like we said, in asham me'ilis. And it's also not included in the original one, because that was shvach hektish, that was not included in what he misappropriated. And that's why, yes, the cases of the Reisha and the Sefer, when it says milasai, refer to different things, which in the Reisha, first the gezeloi, and the word milasai in the Sefer refers to his asham me'ilis.